sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Let me do that again. Don't get it twisted. This rap shit is mine, motherfucker. It's not a fucking game. Fuck what you heard. It's what you're hearing. It's what you're hearing. Listen. It's what you're hearing. Listen. It's what you're hearing. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. And if you happen to speak French, a.k.a. Monsieur Grandpapa B. Yeah. All right, before I continue the show, I want to remind you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on January 22nd, 2023, 5:04. Happy Lunar New Year's. And this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. Why F? F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's right. January 22nd. Am I right? Yeah, January 22nd is Lunar New Year. You know what? I should have read up on what that's about. Like, is it really moon cycle and shit? Hold on, January 22nd. Get your shit together, B. Lunar New Year's. There we go. Lunar New Year, Sunday. The part I'm not sure is the New Year start today or tomorrow? I think it starts today. All right, or did it start yesterday? I don't know. Look at me trying to celebrate a holiday that apparently it's my year. Apparently, according to, you know what I did for Lunar New Year? I went to this Chinese buffet in our town called Mandarin twice this weekend. Twice. I went first time on Friday, and then my homegirl talked me into it. I'm going to blame her. This is like an Adam and Eve eating the apple situation, because it was her idea to go, and I was like protesting. I said, no, God forbid us to go to a buffet, even though we really enjoyed twice in one weekend. And we went, and went today, and if I sound a little low energy, it's because I'm fucking full. I'm full, my friend. I ate more than I'm supposed to. Like, I mean, this is why we immigrated to this country, this is why my parents immigrated to this country, so their firstborn could eat like a fucking pig while people throughout the rest of the world starved. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Okay. Lunar New Year is the beginning of the lunar calendar
of, come on, man, what's with the big words? Lunar, solar, calendar, year, whose month are moon cycles. Oh, moon cycles. Okay. The event is celebrated by numerous cultures in varying ways and at diverse dates. Okay. See, Jesus didn't want that shit. The more well-known celebration include New Year's Day or week in the Chinese calendar and related national calendars of the East Asian culture sphere, the Hindu, the Buddhist calendar of South and Southeast Asia, the Islamic calendar, and the Jewish calendar that originated in the Middle East. Now, here's the part you Canadians might be interested in. It's also celebrated by other cultures such as the Nisga people. How do you pronounce that? Anyway, Nisga people of Canada. The determination of the first day of the new year varies by culture. Well, see, you know what? And this is why Jesus didn't die for y'all sins. No, I'm kidding. I'm being ignorant. Growing up as a, it's not just Black Canadian, but it's like my upbringing. My upbringing was the only history I was aware of. The only part of the world I knew about was white and Black people. Sure, I knew about, you know, Asians, Arabs. Yeah, I did grow up with Arabs, you know. But pretty much, if you weren't conquered by the French at some point, if your history doesn't include French people, then I wasn't aware of you. So it's just wild for me to... I mean, I was aware. I've always been made aware of this, but this is the first time I actually look into this and partake in the celebration of Lunar New Year by stuffing my fat face. It's the idea that, hey, to the rest of the world, this is their new year. And you know what? Let me look up the word lunar calendar in many cultures, combining lunar calendar. So, you know what? This is too long to read, especially for this podcast. And like I said, I'm fucking full, and my body is dying for a nap right now. But I want to get this podcast out the way. I'm trying to meet my commitment of a podcast at least once a week. Well, twice a week. Okay, so here's the plan for today's episode. We are going to start with random thoughts. That's what I want. Okay, random thoughts, and then followed by some two personal thoughts. Yeah. All right, and I'll be honest, right? Just because this is going to come back and make this part of my intro is, I actually this episode, in preparing for this show, this specific episode, I wasn't really feeling creative. I feel like the title was could have easily been the episode that nearly wasn't. And what inspired me to still stick to it, even though I wasn't sure about my topics, and also the negative thoughts were at me again about, you know, don't record. Your podcast ain't shit. No one's listening to your shit. Why are you wasting your time? You're just going to embarrass yourself. You know what I mean? What I'm getting all that. What inspired me is was DMX, may he rest in peace, his track, X is Gonna Give It to You. And I really love the beginning of his song, of the track, where he says, not the arf, arf, not the barking part, but specifically the part where he says, fuck what you heard, it's what you're hearing. It's what you're hearing, it's what you're hearing, it's what you're hearing. I love that idea of, look, I'm sure people have talked shit about me, or I'm sure I might have said something before, I might have been flaky, I might have told you something differently, but now what you need to focus on is what I'm telling you. What you need to hear is what you're hearing now. What should be in your fucking ear, what should be in your mind, fuck what I said in the past, it's what you're hearing. And I thought there was something inspirational about that shit. There's something powerful. Also, X Gonna Give It to You. The track is pretty much a track about, you know, another one of those hip hop don't fuck with me or you're gonna feel some consequences, repercussion and consequences. Is that how you say it? Consequences or repercussion. I'm gonna touch on that idea later. When you're saying to someone, X is going to give it to you or I'm going to give it to you, you're talking about violence and the kind of violence that where I win and you lose. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in personal thoughts. So let's start with random. Let's go with random, right? trying to work on my odds here, okay? So like I said, low energy. I'm hoping this low energy is going to stop me from, how long am I in there? Okay, less than 10 minutes. We're not 10 minutes in. I'm hoping this low energy will prevent me from rambling on and getting off topic and ending up halfway through the episode and being like, oh, shit, I got an hour to go. Yeah, anyways, no. That's not what I won't do that to you. Okay, so first thought that I had on my random thoughts, what did I write down? I said, haven't made any progress on the project intro beat, on project intro beat. That is correct. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, but in terms of project intro beat, I think I've narrowed it down to four people. And it's funny how the one I'm... you know what? I'm not going to go into those details. It's, I might have mentioned, you know, race might have been a factor. You know what? Maybe I should just message these people. You know what? I'll message these people instead of complicating my life. Because at this moment, I've been judging these people who commit my intro beats strictly by race. Like this one white dude, he looks like, who lives in Germany. He looks like he knows what the fuck he's talking about. Well, it's not that he knows what he's talking about, but basically there's something in his intro that said, yes, that's what I want. But I'm thinking about the optics. I'm being a guy named B Black. Shut Up Podcast, talking about, you know, fuck, F is for fuck Whitey, and I'm giving my money to this white dude. I mean, I'm all about humanity, right? You know, right person for the job, and it's not like I'm the one who's got to, I don't know, a part of me feels like a hypocrite, because on one end, I'm like, hey, yeah, man, thank you for this employment equity, and on the other end, I'm like, yeah, let's go with the first qualified white person to do the job. But we'll see. You know what? I'm doing a lot of thinking, and that's usually a case for me. But it's gonna come. You know what? I should message these people, because there's one dude's in England, white dude. One dude's in Germany, white dude. One dude's in, I'm not sure where he is, but he's a black dude. And this other guy, Spanish dude, Latino dude. And all four of them look like they're dope. Black dude is the most expensive one on that list, you know. I'm all for, you know, giving my people business and shit like that, you know, and all that. But, you know, a budget is a motherfucking budget. And also, the black dude looks like he's, not to say all of them aren't, like, experienced, but he looks like he's been in this business for, I don't know. There's something about him that gives me the feeling that he's used on high budget. Like, what he put on his website is like, that's the bare minimum, homeboy. Like, that's the standard package. That's, like, broke people package. I only put that so broke people will know to stay the fuck away. But, come on, if you got to ask the price, you can't afford it. But anyway, we'll see. After I send the email and whoever gives me the best feeling, and I'll take it from there. In a way, I'm kind of being racist because I'm kind of hoping the black dude gives me bad vibes, tells me to go fuck myself because that nigga looks expensive. Anyways, okay, all right, so yeah, that's haven't made progress on project intro beat. More at 11, more on the next episode, or more, hopefully more 11. All right, next topic, I said, my new favorite subreddit, it's called Leopards Ate My Face. And, really, B, you're gonna do this to yourself? Because this is a lot of reading, and I don't like to read. And the community is about, and I'll just read the description, it says, I never thought leopards would eat my face, sobs woman who voted for the leopard eating people's face party. Revel in the, I think that's a German word, Schadenfreude. You know what? I have an AI device who could do this reading for me. Who knows if I'll pronounce it properly, but here we go. Bear with me. Here we go. No, come on. No, you're going to embarrass me in front of all these people? Come on. I pay you good money. Read my shit. Here we go. Oh, fuck. This thing's not going to work. I don't know if I need to reboot my machine. Come on. There we go.
I never thought leopards would eat my face, sobs woman who voted for the leopards eating people's faces party. Revel in the schadenfreude anytime someone has a sad because they're suffering consequences from something they voted for or supported or wanted to impose on other people.
Amazing.
Created.
Pause. All right. Okay. Okay. So that's the new subreddit. And the post that got my attention that made me keep my rigole in French, that means that made me laugh. It goes, Elon is my new boss. Check this out. This guy, this thing will even read images. Let me test it. Fuck this shit. You know what? Yeah, I paid for this shit. Why not? Why not test, show off its features in front of my audience? Who? Give me a second. Oh, is this gonna work? Just a sec. Oh, nope. Okay, hold on. They didn't like it. Let me close this. There we go. Okay, bear with me, man. I'm attempting to use the software to read an image, and add files, add image. Dun, 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 dun. Nope, 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 nope. Where did I put it? It's not a game. It's what you're hearing. But right now you ain't hearing shit because I can't oh, there we go. Find the file. Is this it? Sort this motherfucker by how do I sort by? Sort by. Damn. You don't do me like that? That's not it. Okay, sorry guys. I should play some music. Hold on a second. Let me how can I in the meantime. That's not music. Oh, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna play some music as I find it. Here we go. This is, by the way, my favorite track right now. Well, it's actually the video that I like. Okay, meanwhile, I'm gonna figure this motherfucker out. Okay, I don't think I'm legally allowed to play this shit. You're dying to make my day. There we go. All right, sort by ascending. Okay. Which directory did you put this motherfucker in? Sorry, I saved the image to my hard drive, and this is an embarrassing. This is an embarrassing situation. Oh, it. All right, okay, guys. Okay, we got our shit together. Image. See, you know when you save something on your hard drive and you forget and your computer, like, plays games on where it saves it or doesn't save it where you think it's going to save it? Or you don't pay attention to where you told it to save and then this is where we are. There we go. All right. This is all this to see if this shit, this software that I paid for is able to read this image. And here we go. All this to, damn, I wasted time. Okay, here we go. Okay, I apologize. I'm usually more professional than this. Actually, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. This is me. This is Shut Up Podcast. Okay, here we go. My favorite post from the Leopard Ate My Face subreddit. Okay? And not my favorite post, but, well, it is now. It is worth sharing with y'all. Here we go.
Twitter might have had a reputation as a left-leaning workforce, but there had always been a faction that disapproved of its progressive ideals. Uh-huh. On Slack, some of these workers had formed a channel called #IDissent, where they asked questions like why dead naming a trans colleague was considered bad. When Musk announced he was buying the company, one of the more active iDissenters was thrilled. Mm-hmm. Elon's my new boss and I'm stoked. He wrote on LinkedIn. I decided to send him a Slack message. I figured you miss 100% of the shots you don't make. This employee was cut during the first round of layoffs. Soon, all the prominent members of the #IDissent Slack channel would be gone. The channel itself was archived, while bigger social channels like Pompside Social Water Cooler were abandoned.
I guess I could have summarized it myself. So yeah, some dude working for Twitter was all ready to suck Elon Musk's dick. And because, you know, he's like, yeah, Twitter's a little too much on that woke shit, progressive bullshit. And asked the question. I'm not sure what that means to. Oh, no, I know what it means to the word he used was. Oh, let me turn this off. The word he used was, why is it wrong to. Is it dead name? Is that the word he used? Progressive ideas. The workers had formed a channel called I Dissent, where they all asked the questions like why dead naming a trans colleague was considered bad. And now here's the thing, right? Questions like that is you can Google that shit. But usually when someone's asking that shit, they're getting ready to what they're really saying is, let me explain to you why I believe it's bad. And so they're not really looking for to be enlightened. This is not the point. The point is, motherfucker was looking forward to Elon Musk showing up. And he kicked him. You know, I really don't like Elon Musk. I don't know him personally, I guess, you know, but who knows? In the background, maybe he'd be someone that I'd be like, oh, you know, I understand what you're going through. But the public image that he's putting out there is I really don't like the dude. And I don't like the dude. And especially what he's doing to Twitter. It's so funny. I feel like making a joke about it. Like, if it was a black dude who bought Twitter on some bullshit, I'd be like, yeah, man, I'd compare it to spinning rims. But because it's a white guy, my mind is exploding. I'm like, this has got to be a plan. This has got to be all a joke. This is all, like, he wants us to believe. He's trying to pretend he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, all the fucking up that he's doing is all, like, one big master plan that will reveal itself. Because, you know, he's white. Well, white people I've been raised to believe, make smarter business decisions. I don't know. I don't want to rant about the guy. Because I feel like that's, for some reason, that's what he wants to be hated. I don't know what that's about. Anyways, but I am reveling. Is that the word? Reveling in the idea that these guys were like, they were in that scene in House of the Dragon. And he was like, this one guy, he was dying on the battlefield. And he saw the dragon, Daemon on his dragon show up. And he's like, oh, you motherfuckers are going to get it. And then the dragon stomps him. And it's like, yeah, he died for the cause, man. I'm chuckling. I'm enjoying this. I like the idea of, see, Elon is not the problem for me. It's his followers. It's because they tend to be ass, like worse than him, worse than the image that he presents. But we'll get out of this. We'll get out of this. But yeah, anyway, so yes, this concludes the segment on, not the segment, but new subreddit. All right. What else do I have? Okay, B, you seriously? You're going to have to... Too many random thoughts, man. We're trying to get the fuck out of here. Okay, this one here is... Okay, I'm going to play this because it's a clip I found on TikTok by Jambi McGrath Comedy. And at first, I thought she was doing a bit. It started as a bit. And she dropped some... But she said some real shit. And her... this clip, one... Well, one, gave me a lot to think about. Two, well, okay, it wasn't funny. It wasn't meant to be. I don't think it was meant to be funny, but she said some real shit. Real that made me start to reconsider getting back into comedy. All right, I'm going to play the clip. I'll probably say one sentence and move on to the next segment. To the next item on the random thought segment. Here we go.
Do you know, I used to hang out with black Americans. But you know what surprised me most is that I felt no connection with black Americans, and that surprised me. Now I know at the time I didn't. You know, I felt no connection with black Americans because you know what? Black Americans were woke. Mm. You know, black Americans had looked at their oppressor in the face. They had tunnel vision, just like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela looked at his oppressor in his face, and you know what? He had tunnel vision. They knew what was bringing them down. In Africa, we don't have tunnel vision. We don't know what is oppressing us because you know what? Because slavery just changed. It didn't go away. It just changed. So most people in Africa, we feel oppressed. We don't know what is oppressing us, you see. Those children in the Congo that are mining all of the coltan with their bare hands, they don't know that at the top of the chain is a white man. Mm. The children that are picking the cocoa, right? They don't actually know that the person at the top is a white man. I found out.
Message.
The farm next to my father's farm now belongs to Unilever. Mm. That's right. People in Africa cannot afford to buy land anymore. Do you know why? Because slavery never ended. It still carries on. You know, they dump all their toxic waste all over Africa. All your baby's nappies are all over Africa. People cannot farm their land anymore. Mm. Do you know? And you know what? Here's a fact. 3/4 of the people in Africa are under the age of 30. 3/4 of the people in Africa are under the age of 30. Majority of people in Africa have never heard of slave trade.
Message.
Majority of people in Africa have never heard of colonialism. Majority of people in Africa only ever see white people when they're coming to save us. Mm. So majority of people in Africa fundamentally believe this. Mm. They fundamentally believe that white people are nice. Mm. They fundamentally believe that white people will do anything to save them. Mm. They fundamentally believe that if they walk across the Sahara Desert, cross perilous seas, the nice people in Europe will be welcoming them with big open hands. Mm. I say, if you don't want people from Africa coming to your continent, let them know the real you.
That's Message. Right. Message.
Show them, because Message. Information in Africa, history is completely controlled in Africa. We don't learn history in Africa. Mm. Do you know what? Show them the brutality of the empire. Show them the brutality of the slave trade. Just show them. And you know what? If you don't want people from Africa coming to Europe, leave Africa alone.
Message.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm applauding too. It was very powerful.
It's the 17th.
It's kind of interesting. I'm trying to picture, you know, dating some white chick because, you know, dating I was gonna say some white chick. No, not in general. Dating some MAGA white chick who I'm just trying to bang, and I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to picture. Showed up to the comedy club. Bitch, you gonna laugh? You know what I mean? Because she wants to. You know what? I'm imagining something that can't happen. But whatever. Just bear with me, right? Showing up to the club, expecting some joke, expecting her to say some, you know, some black men are this, white men are that kind of jokes. And then she drops the science on me. I'd be like, bitch, this date is over. I guess what I'm getting at is what I love about this, her bit is... I'm a little self-conscious. I was a little self-conscious about my style of comedy because I wanted to be closer to what she accomplished. She dropped some stuff. She taught us. She had a microphone and she informed and she said some persuasive shit. So don't get me wrong. I do have a lot of jokes, but my intention is a little bit maybe that's why I stopped comedy. It's a little bit like this podcast. Is yeah, I want to make you laugh, but I also want to make you think. I'm kind of hoping I teach you something. I'm kind of hoping I say something that makes you pissed off or angry or emotional or like, what the fuck? Reconsider things. And it's wild because I live in a city like Ottawa. And don't get me wrong, I was about to say like some... Like, I'm surrounded by talented comedians. Don't get me wrong, right? I go on stage with talented comedians. I'm talking about the talented comedian, not you mediocre folks. Fight amongst yourselves to figure out who I'm talking about. But yeah, not you mediocre. But it's you go on stage with these talented comedians, and sometimes I feel like this ain't my lane. Like, you know, you show up like a popular club. We the Yuck Yucks, the Absolutes, the whatever open mic. And these motherfuckers just want to laugh, and especially if it's a white audience, these motherfuckers just want to laugh. And here I show up with with my kill whitey jokes, you know what I mean? Like, speaking of white genocide, I actually have a joke about white genocide. And yes, I'm kind of hoping to make white people feel uncomfortable, and laugh, but uncomfortable just by that mention. And actually that's what the joke's about, the discomfort about discussing white genocide. Anyways... I guess I'm self-conscious about, okay, you know, my jokes are popular when I don't feel self-conscious, Black History Month. Cause it's, you know, I'm like, fuck you. You came to a Black History Month comedy show. Everyone else will make the kind of jokes you want to hear. But me, you're going to hear some shit that you're not going to like. And, you know, I'm always grateful. It's funny. I'm always grateful, not to say just, I'm always grateful. One of the greatest compliments was a brother who came up to me. He said, it was a compliment, but okay. He came up to me and said, yo, your jokes make people think. You have to think in order to get the punchline. I really love that he said that. But then he added like, that might not be for everyone. Kind of thing like that. Some shit like that. It's not to say the other comedians just show up with fart and dick joke. But I'm, look, man, I'm from a long, long line of preachers. And you're given a microphone and there's an aim to this shit. And I'm just, where am I going with this? I guess I'm just, one, grateful for hearing this clip. And two, just want to say a shout out to Njambi McGrath, comedy. And of course, the links to her website was in the show notes. Actually, another note that I want to add is when she first started out about how Africans, a majority of Africans, don't know who their oppressors are, it just had me thinking about that Bob Marley track, Africans Unite. And I'm thinking, well, so much for that, theory. I'm actually one of the, I feel like I might be a minority, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but as a black person, even though I talk that pro-black shit, I actually don't believe that black people, we were meant, black people, all of us. No, you know what? I'm just going to stick with black people because why not? But based on my experience, I actually don't believe we were meant to be one culture, to be lumped up based on our race. And this is what I'm, especially the continent of Africa. I think the white man did us a disservice by saying, hey, you guys are black, you're one people. I say this because the more you get to know black people, the more you realize we are a fucking diverse group of human beings. I grew up on that whole pro-black, Africa unite, one people, one nation under a groove shit. And I've also seen how, yo, motherfuckers beef. I also don't believe that in order to be pro-black, to be about black people, you can only date within your race. Nah, I disagree with that shit. I used to be scared to bring that out loud. I'm on the opposite side, man. Do who you are. You're a complex human being, and if you can find another human being who could, you can treat as a partner that you want to share your life with, I don't give a, however they look, let it be your choice. That's what I'm trying to say. There was a time where I used to think that it was my obligation, and this sounds a little disrespectful, but I had to date black women so that a black woman wouldn't get her feelings hurt. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, you know, repressed to just what? Nah, I'm like, date who you want to date. I've heard of this, there's a term, I forget what it's called, but black women who date Asian dudes. There's an acronym for them. And I remember this Wonder Woman, this might have been on Facebook or something, commenting about how, basically, this had the same sentiment as I am. She goes, I know, I'm into Asian dudes, whatever. No, I think she said she's dating or married to this Asian dude, but she feels the hatred from the brothers. And I just jumped in. I said, yo, do you, sis. Whoever makes you happy, do you, fuck our choice. It's your life. Do you find your happiness? And I'll see you on the battlefield. I mean, don't be dating a motherfucker who's like, you know, dating a white person. See, in my MAGA joke that I was talking about, I was trying to say that I would, the bad joke was showing up to hear Njambi McGrath's comedy speech. to hear that speech, and I'm dating some white chick that I'm just trying to bang. I don't give a fuck about her personality, and she's probably on that. Why is it got to be about race? I wish I could touch her hair. Yeah, she's those kind of white people. You know what I mean? And incompatibility. You know, I'm 48 now, so I'm less on incompatible relationships. But when I was younger, oh man, yeah. Okay, off topic. All right, okay. Let's go, man. 33 minutes. I really want to do these personal thoughts. Well, I'm going to do it in 20 minutes. So 7 minutes to get through the rest of this shit. Okay, it's not really long. Well, we'll see how this goes. Slowly, but succinctly. Yeah, I guess. Okay, so shout out to Njambi McGrath Comedy for this bit. And also for making me miss comedy. Like, I'm getting closer to stop overthinking and just sign up for an open mic and see what I got. See if I still got it. Take it from there. But anyways, if I do get back into comedy, I'm going to give her props. I'm going to say, yo, that bit you did set me on my journey back. All right. Oh, you know what? I was going to talk about how her bit reminded me also of how racism benefits white people who oppose it and who support racism. Like, it's fucked up that they've managed to convince these Africans that, oh, no, we're the good guys. The bad guys are amongst each other. Like, I've met people from Africa who weren't trying to hear that black, that pro-black bullshit. And I couldn't, it angered me because I was on this, wait, but we're trying to unite. Yo, they weren't trying to hear shit about Wakanda. They weren't trying to hear shit about, you trying to unite with us? Have you been to Africa? You know what I mean? No. They're like, nah, you're not Africans. You're not, you're a Haitian. You're a Canadian. You're not one of us. Like, they were big on fuck what history told you. You ain't us. I've met that, but what I didn't know is, their education is a lot different. The education that they got is a lot different than the one I got. So, yeah, where am I going with this? Yeah, racism seems to benefit white people when they oppose it or support it. It's like, sometimes I think, like, racism is the great, okay, racism is the most amazing creation white people came out of, but it's a shitty creation for human beings. Like, there's a white person who, you know, who sees himself as a human and then a white person, and he's disgusted by racism. I'm, you know, shout out to you. But I'm just saying, I'm a little discouraged, man. I'm a little discouraged. This racism shit, I feel like we're losing, man. The TV tries to convince that we're winning the fight against racism. Nah, man. Look, man, racism ain't dying, man. It doesn't die. It multiplies, or it just remixes itself. It just adapts to the time. And that bit did not make me laugh, but it did inform me. All right, okay. All right. Jump to the next one here. We're not trying to destroy old men. Okay, you know what? This is like a TikTok podcast today. This is another clip that got my attention, and it's by Growing Pains NF, which stands for Growing Pains with Nicholas Flores Podcast. And brother, man, you said something that just helped me focus. I'm on this journey of being a firm feminist thinker. I'm trying to do right by women. I'm trying to, like, acknowledge. When I say try to do right by women, it's like, I recognize the world is shitty to them, and my role is to try to educate other. My role is to try to communicate the message my feminist sisters can't communicate to our hardhead brothers. When I say brothers, I'm talking about, you know, the male gen. Cis-hetero males. Other fellow cis hetero males, but I gotta tell you, man, that motherfucker's got a hard head, and I gotta be very selective of who I talk to. But in my journey to being a more feminist thinker and being an educator, more to enlighten my cis hetero brothers about their role in patriarchy and how we need to band together and dismantle the patriarchy and how that motherfucker's not doing us any favor, I won't lie. I may have turned a bit to, like, the pendulum may have shifted to a point where I'm hating men. But you're a man. No, actually, I gave up the definition. I gave up trying to be someone's definition of a real man. I've given up. Fuck this notion of masculinity. I'm just trying to do me, be whoever the fuck I was meant, whoever the fuck I can and want to be. That's who I want to. Fuck that, man. You want to call me a bitch? Want to call me whatever? I don't give a fuck. I just learned that this world is filled with people who want you to live your life the way they want you to live it, and I'm like a middle finger. So, with that said, it is possible. I would be surprised if I get accused of, hey, B, you're a man hater. You hate all men, except yourself. You're a self-hater. You hate all men. Anyways, this brother, Nicholas Flores, said something that helped me. He found the words that I needed to say in response to people who think that, you know, I'm going to war against men. Here we go. Another TikTok clip.
We're not trying to just destroy all men. We're trying to destroy the men that destroy the world, frankly.
Preach.
There's a certain kind of man that is very, very uncritical and that does tremendous damage. And frankly, the reason we pick on men is because society historically has valued that. We should not be surprised. Look at Christopher Columbus. Look at all the people that we've celebrated. Andrew Jackson. look at our heroes, you know? If you want a nice white general from the North, Robert Gould Shaw. Like, we could pick any of them. And the point is simply, Jackson Katz is like, this is what made them heroic. And we replicate that in ways that cause harm. And if you want to unlearn that, here is the vocabulary.
Preach, brother. Anyways, yeah. So we're not attacking all men. Did you guys hear it? Sorry. Okay, yeah. I hope you heard that because I kept interrupting with...
Message.
Yeah, to emphasize what he's saying. The TikTok clip, the link to that TikTok clip is in the show notes. You can find it there. But I think I said this. Okay, what did I write my notes? Said how men could benefit from being feminist thinkers. Oh, yes. Okay. How men could benefit from being feminist thinkers as well. So on my journey to convince men that we need to dismantle patriarchy, I met these new dudes. I met these two dudes who actually at work and what are the odds of them listening to this podcast? But no, the only reason I bring them up is because they were in a unique basically they were like they shared my profile. They were single, lived in a home, owned their own place. And they were like in late 30s. I'm in my late 40s, right? But essentially, single dudes, not married, no girlfriends, and they live alone. And that demographic is actually a like yellow line, not red flag, but yellow flag. Like, be careful. From what I understand, a lot of these dudes, because I can relate. A lot of us end up, in a previous podcast, I talked about the loneliness in men. Men being lonely, especially if you're like not married. Some of us end up feeling like we fucked up. We got the job, we got the money, we got the place, but we fucked up in terms like people think that, you know, oh, you're single, something must be wrong with you. And I met two dudes at my work who were in my same profile, and I'm like, damn, it shocked me because I'm used to being the one guy who's not married in the group, the one guy who doesn't have a girlfriend, the one guy who's like, oh, it looks like you're gonna die with cats, you know? It's like the one guy, the motherfuckers in mediocre relationship get on the nerves to be, yeah, you need to find yourself a good wife, a good woman like mine, a good woman like mine who I keep complaining about every fucking single day and take for granted and shit like that. But yeah, them motherfuckers. And they were just talking about their profile. One guy was just explaining, he wasn't like, deep into thought. Essentially, he was saying shit that I could relate to. How he doesn't like hang out with it, how he's the only one who's not married amongst his friends. And because I don't know them, a part of me wanted to say, because I remember connecting with them, but I'm realizing that I'm actually doing a little bit better than they are. In a sense that I've reached a point with my life where, so I've adopted feminist thinking, I've reached a point where I'm no longer, you know, I've given up this identity of what a man's supposed to be. I've given up doing that bullshit. I know I'm willing to do shit like, not intimate, but, you know, have a human moment with another human being. Like being, I do therapy. I'm working on myself. I'm trying to be a better human. Okay, I can do shit. Okay, one of my biggest, greatest accomplishments, it's minor to the rest of the world, is I've gotten rid of the shit that I grew, the programming. I've unlearned the shit that made it impossible for someone like me to be friends, an actual friend, platonic relationship with a woman. There was a time that if you were an attractive woman and if you were a woman generally, right? And you said shit like, yeah, no, I value our friendship. I'm like, bitch, I'm just trying to fuck. I'm saying, in that moment, I wanted to tell these fellas, I wanted to talk about, so where do you stand on feminism? Could you see yourself being, because there are a lot of lonely men out there. I guess I'm going to summarize my point. There's a lot of lonely men out there, but some of these lonely men would benefit if they were able to expand their horizon and were able to look at women as human beings. As people, they can actually have a friendship, a legitimate, like, oh shit, we have a lot in common, and have a friendship with. Now, a lot of these men will tell you, no, I can. I'm like, you really. really need to unprogram. You really need to, basically, you need to have a, I was going to say a come to Jesus moment. You need to have a come to your soul moment and realize, basically, look at how you've been programmed. I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you, man. A lot of us men, we weren't raised to be friendly to other women. We were raised to, like, yo, fuck, you know, to dismiss feminism. To be a shitty human being to women. A lot of us were unaware. It's like, it's okay, you know what it's like? It's like white people born in white supremacy, oblivious of the fact that they're living in a system where they benefit from racism. And they can't tell, and they expect you to live a world. They expect you to live a, like, there's a reason, like, you know, there's a reason why I have a short list of white friends, and emphasize the word friends. Most of the white people I know, they're associates. They don't know shit. Like, they're not aware of their white fragility. They don't know about, like, I can't talk real. I can't be honest, speak to them honestly about what's on my mind, because they'll be offended. They'll cringe. They can't handle it. To them, it's, hey, there's we're just part of the human race. They ain't trying to hear this black. They don't know what I've been through. Even though they saw a black man named George Floyd beg for his life, plead for his life from an officer, man, still not moved, right? But they still believe that they're good people. It's like they're not racist, but they allow racism, but they're the reason, they're part of the reason why racism is still going strong. You know what I mean? It's just some complicated shit from them. They're not racist. Like, they're not, when I say they're not racist, they're not burning crosses. They're not, you know, porch monkey. You know what I mean? They're not, I sincerely believe they're trying to be good people, but they're fucking ignorant when it comes to racism. Anyways, the same applies for sexism. Look, I didn't make the rules. Look, a lot of us, we were just born into this world where the people who are trying to control us, it was just easy by splitting us apart. They need men to be like, to have a, to believe that women are meant to be dominated. You know, and if they complain about it, well, they're just being troublemakers. They need white people to believe that black people, look, man, natural order of things. There's us white folks, and the rest of y'all need to just get in line. You know, like they need that shit to believe. Like, you, heterosexuals, you're in charge. You have the relationship that the Lord Jesus. Well, okay, Jesus didn't have a, whatever. You have the relationship that God wants you to have, and everyone else, yeah, man, treat them like others. They need that split. They need that. Like, I'm going to get shot for saying this kind of shit like that. And this system of separation is so powerful, it can only be dismantled by the people who benefit from it. That, you know, that's how fucked up it is. Like, feminists can preach, a monk can talk, all that, you know, feminists, like, unless they're building their own system, but they need some of us to snap out of this bullshit and be like, oh, okay. Like, there's been moments where that's what happened to me. My female friend will try to explain shit, something to me, a feminist concept, and I'll be like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Then my male friend explains it to me. I'm like, oh, they want to be respected. Oh, what did she say so? Man, them bitches need to learn how to articulate. I'm just saying. Anyway, so my point is, in that moment when they were talking about their loneliness and we weren't talking about loneliness, but a part of me wanted to say, actually, I'm not that lonely. I have a friend. We hang out. We do cool things. I'm able to be my real self around this person. You know, like, the real definition of friendship, like, and all that shit. I felt like telling them that, but I don't know. You tell to a man, you know, hey, your friend's a woman. First thing they want to know, so y'all fucking? You trying to fuck? You know, it's a concept that they can't master. But I don't know. You know, who knows? Maybe I might reach. I don't know if I'll reach out to them. But hearing their story just reminded me of other men like me, like us out there. Other men out there who are living alone. But that loneliness is a result of their inability to accept feminist concepts. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, man, I'm kind of proud of myself. Okay. That's it. That's it for now. Okay. And the last item I had on my random thoughts was Happy Lunar New Year. Now, no way I'm going to read up what Lunar New Year is about, but all right, now, okay, so I completed Random Thoughts. Now, it's time for Personal Thoughts. I need to work on better titles. I'm working on it, but this is the concept. Random, and then end with Personal Thoughts. All right? Okay, here we go. Okay, hold on a second. Fuck that. I'm going to put that shit a little louder. DJ! All right. Personal Thoughts. And then we're done for recess. We break for recess. Fuck, man. 50 minutes. I'm going to get to that. All right. So, first one is, it's just this thought of, okay, while picking this song, today's title for the song, it's going to give it to you. It's going to give it to you. It had me thinking of my fascination with the idea of violence. I have this fashion. Look, I'm not the violent type. I just act like I'm the violent type. Like, you know, some of my titles, I listen to a lot of rap music that talk about violence and shit like that. But deep down inside, I am not the violent type. I still have this early memory when I was a kid. Yeah, I still remember it. I had a little brother and he had like this truck and he was coming to hit me. And my dad was there, right? And then, I remember, again, I might have been 5 years old or 4 years old, but I still remember freaking the fuck out, not knowing what to do. I don't know why. All I know is my little brother, who barely speaks, doesn't know what his action is, and he was just coming to hit me with, he was just being a kid, to hit me with a truck, and I remember just freaking the fuck out. And my dad says, defend yourself. He meant well, but I'm sure in that moment, he's looking at this kid, this five-year-old boy, acting like a little, you know, how come he doesn't have a sense of aggression in him? And I'm sure in his moment, he was like, oh, great, I'm raising a bitch-ass nigga. And he was like, defend yourself. And I didn't hit my brother. I remember grabbing the truck and taking it out of his hand. But I think that shit may have, not to blame my dad, but I think it sent me on a journey of, oh, I'm supposed to be stronger than him. But all this to say, the reality, I remember every time I see myself in a fight, I'm punching someone, I feel like I deserve those punches back. I can't explain it. Maybe it's my sensitivity, but there's something about, I like watching, okay, no, I don't like watching UFC fights, right? I like watching movies about violence. I like listening to rap lyrics about violence, especially DMX. I like tough guys. You know, you're watching the movies and you see the badass scene. X is going to give it to you. Especially just something about his voice that, look, I was thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot about this whole Andrew Tate guy. And I think I'm going to put this podcast by, what's it called again? How Things Work by Unvox. It's, I'm delaying here. I'm going to get lost in thoughts here. I've been thinking a lot about Andrew Tate in the sense that trying to understand his appeal, not just to other men, but I'm like, fuck. I hate the dude. Don't get me wrong. Okay, there we go. No, that's not it. Andrew Tate's brand of masculinity hurts men too. No, that's not what I want to talk about. But I'll put... I guess I was watching this documentary on... hold on. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me... Because this shit has to be Vox. Andrew... Tate. Fuck. All right, The Arrest Misogyny of Influencer. Is that it? Is that the one? Actually, check your Twitter. The Arrest of check your Twitter, because I did say something about, I'm really I'm apologizing for shit that I know I'm going to do again. So, I'll beat myself. Okay, yes, I had an aha moment after. I had an aha moment. Okay, I'm going to put this in the show notes, but the article is called How Andrew Tate Sells Men on Toxic Masculinity. And there's a link in that same article to the podcast by Today Explained. Very good. Well done. And look, as much as I hated this dude, I'm wondering what the fuck. I feel like I was obsessed would hear, like, I wanted to hear about his downfall. Like, there was something there's something about this dude. And it hit me is I was watching, there was this, I think I linked it in the last show, this Vice piece on Andrew Tate about the rise of this motherfucker. And it hit me that they articulated, shout out to you articulate human beings. I wish I was more like you who could write things down and help people figure out their thoughts, okay? Now I'm making my point. Okay, we're talking about violence, my fascination with the idea of violence, DMX, and I was listening to this documentation by the documentary by Tate, and I realized while I'm hating the dude, while I'm like, fuck that nigga, I'm glad you went to prison. Fuck you. You ain't shit. Hope you know your mama ain't shit. Your daddy ain't shit. Your brothers, especially your fans. Yo, fuck you. Die slow. As I'm hating this dude, a part of me is still feeling like, wow, how is this guy talking with so much confidence? How is this guy talking and not worried about getting his ass kicked, getting his ass beat? Oh, what? Boxing champion. Oh, what? And then, you know, the documentary goes along because he speaks with like, I'm not used to that. Like, I don't have that kind of confidence. Like, he speaks like, yo, what I'm saying is gold. Motherfucker, I walk on water. Like, he's a narcissist and all that shit. And then, oh, yeah, as a documentation. And then there's, like, a pretty girl in the background in his room. And he's got a lot of cars. He's got a cars and all that expensive shit. And it fucking hit me. The brand of masculinity this motherfucker's selling is the same brand of masculinity I grew up. What's the word I'm looking for? Having preached to by some of my favorite rappers. I got cars, got bitches, all that shit. Now, here's the thing. A lot of my favorite rappers may have been misogynistic, right? But I knew that shit was a fucking act. Sure, 2-3 of them might have been real about them. Maybe some of them had some charge, domestic violence charges. Oh, okay, let's not forget R. Kelly, but that's a different story, all right? But none of them had fucking, well, I hope not. Oh, fuck. Okay, you know what? They would get dismissed, but Andrew Tate took that shit for real. Like, he lived that shit. He's like that drug rapper who's like, no. When I say I hate bitches, I fucking hate bitches. Who's that at the door? The police, you're under arrest. Oh, fuck. Romania? How the fuck you get yourself arrested in Romania? Anyways, yeah. But he actually lived that shit. Like, the human being in me hates human suffering, so I dismiss it on that. But I can't deny that the massage. See, because that's what makes him attractive. The brand of masculinity, the idea of masculinity that he's selling to these boys with low self-esteem, or not just low self-esteem, depressed, insecure. Like, he really knows how to use insecurity to his advantage. Part of my hatred for Andrew Tate, let me just start by saying is, any human beings who exploits the weakness of other human beings, you're my least favorite kind of person. So that's it right there. But he's on that, I'm exploiting that shit and using it to my advantage. And why are you talking so much about Andrew Tate? Because you're talking about fascination. Because in that brand of masculinity that he's selling, there's the idea that a real man causes other men to fear him. That idea of, you know, like, okay, real men beat up other men, use violence to their advantage, and use sex to their, you know, they're hated, they're feared by other men and loved by other, admired by other women. Like, that's the masculinity that he's selling. Like, that's the image that he's selling us on. And we're trying, like, you know, it started with hip-hop. But just watch the fucking videos. It's so funny. All my sisters kept talking about, yo, these videos are misogynistic. They're all that bullshit and all that. They're misogynistic and all that shit. But holy fuck. I defended those rappers the same way these guys defend Andrew Tate. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying that Snoop Dogg and Andrew Tate are on the same page. No, I'm not. Because Snoop Dogg, that motherfucker's married. Now, I don't know how that marriage is about. But I am saying that him, Nate Dogg, and I just said a whole bunch of West Coast rappers, Kool G Rap, a lot of these rappers sold us on this image of kept preaching about this version of masculinity. And if you're a boy, if you're a boy who didn't have any like actual role models, actually, I had role models, but they all failed me. I think I had role models, but yeah, they all failed me. Either they were scam artists, shit talk, you know, fake preachers who are like, hey, I know I'm married and all, but I got some other bitch pregnant. You know what I mean? Like they were all bullshit. Oh, and worst of all, they sold you on that confidence shit, but deep down inside, they were like, they weren't shit. You know, they wanted to be worshipped. That's really what it was all about. Them acting like they were great, deep down inside, they felt like worse than a cockroach, but they really wanted to be worshipped. So yeah, so I'm one of those men who grew up as boys who didn't have close relationship. Now, I could have said my dad had some qualities, but my dad grew up, but he's like, you know, if any aspiration he had for his son is to be a good Christian man. Problem is, the notion of a Christian man to me has been like, been destroyed. It's like, I don't want to be a Christian man. I don't know, fuck it. On my journey to being who I want to be, Christian is not one of them. So I rejected that image. So I'm saying I guess I understand where this idea of people admiring take, because he sells you on this idea of this, what it's like to be a real man. Now, where I'm going with this, because this segment started out my fascination with this idea of violence. I've taken a long road just to explain something that happened to me this week. I was walking on a regular path, and I'm noticing for one of the houses, someone on the high floor, on high level of, like, you know, I'm on the ground, and he's like yelling out, some brown kid yelling out his window. I'm convinced he's Arab. He might have been an Arabic kid, because that's my neighborhood. We have a lot of, you know, black, white, whatever. But I think he was Arab. The reason I'm adding nationality, because homeboy, all I know is he's yelling out his window. First, I thought he was on his phone, because he's like, man, you bitch, something like that. Just cussing, whatever the fuck, saying all kinds of shit. And then I'm not noticing a phone, but he's just, yo, dude may have had Tourette syndrome, but he was just yelling at the phone. And at some point I hear, what the fuck you looking at? What the fuck you looking at? Because he's talking to me. Actually, I should mention I was with my homegirl. And yeah, he goes, what the fuck you looking at? I'm confused. I'm like, is he talking to me? Because we're both looking at him. Confused, like, what the fuck is going on? Are you yelling at someone, whatever? Blah, blah, doesn't matter, right? And then homeboy dropped with the, nigga, you don't know me. I forget what he said, but it was like gangsta. Like it was like, I don't know if he said, nigga, you don't know me, whatever. But he dropped the N-word. He like, you know, that's why I mentioned that he was Arab. Because, yeah, in my neighborhood, and I blame French Montana for this shit. French Montana and the whole fucking state of New York and their liberal rules about the N-word. Who can say the N-word? But whatever, right? Starts dropping the N-words and the N-word and like I don't know, trying to imitate his favorite rapper or something like that, favorite gangster rapper. Now, my ignorant instinct was to be like, come here and say that. That's my I can't fight. I'm not the fighting type. But the ignorant in me, I have no role models, so let me imitate my favorite rapper. I'm being disrespected right now. People aren't looking, right? But I'm like, I need to hold it down. I need to do whatever Tupac would have done. You know, if they sweat me, I'm going to open fire. I don't have, shout out to Canada. We have gun laws and shit like that, right? But homie was just talking mad gorilla shit out his window. Now, shout out to my therapist, because she kicked in. Her first thought was, her voice was in my mind, and she was like, one, dude, sorry, homeboy is fucked up. Ain't shit you could do about it. He might have Tourette syndrome, or he might just be talking shit. Notice that he's talking from the top of his window right now, talking a lot of shit, and, you know, saying, so, you know, me and my homies will kill you, nigga. Whatever, it's shit like that, right? Yeah, I did cling into the part of, oh, you're not alone? Okay, this might be an unfair fight. But the amount of shit he was talking, you can tell that, yeah, he's full of shit and whatever. But yeah, no, a part of me wanted to come downstairs. I'm actually heavier than you. I might just, you know, you could, I might just grab and then fix it so I'm sitting on you and you suffocate to death. So, I don't know, whatever, right? like, there was that confidence because I was like, yeah, I think I can fuck him up. I think I can kick his ass. You know what I mean? Like, you know, through a full punch. Hopefully I'm not too tired. And, but yeah, my therapist kicked in as one, you don't know what's going on in this motherfucker's mind. Two, I wasn't scared. I was scared, but I wasn't scared. You know, self-preservation. Because, you know, some people talk shit and they mean it. But a lot of me was like, yeah, no, this dude is just angry about something and imitating, like, flying off the handle and shit like that. But I, in that moment, all I did was acknowledge the human being. I gave him the, you know, because he was saying, nigga, you don't know me. Me and my homies and stuff like that. Because when he dropped the N-word, it's like, dude, I'm trying to get your attention. So I gave him the attention. I gave him a salute and kept walking. The other reason too is because my homegirl, she's kind of like, you know, ooh, crazy. She would have like, let me put it this, I wasn't worried about her safety or anything like that, but she could be like, yeah, fuck you, you know, respond back. And she's the one who could say the right things to trigger. Like if he was talking shit, by the when she's done with him, he's going to come downstairs. He's going to be like, how dare this woman speak to me in that manner? Yeah, he's going to want to fight back. So I'm like, I'm saying I might have been hesitant to fight, but she would have been down for whatever. So I'm just like, so I just continued walk. I'm just like, gave him a salute, acknowledged him, and then walked away. Okay. And, you know, if something happens. But I remember feeling like I did the right thing. Like my therapist going, yeah, dude, motherfucker's crazy. Ain't shit you can do about it. Crazy people be out there. Ain't shit you can do about it, man. Come on, man. Breathe. Okay, be yourself. And then it's when I got home. Time has passed. I don't know what happened, man. Time has passed. And then next thing you know, that evil inside me, that the negative inside me was like, so you let some brown Arab kid punk you out like that? I'm like, wait, but he might have been sick. Yeah, but you know, but he might have been. Now he's probably telling your homies how you a bitch. Now you're gonna be every time you walk that path, you're gonna be nervous to cross him and stuff like that. Basically, and this is where I'm going with this. In that moment, when I'm calling myself a bitch, I was starting to be mad at myself for not being the kind of person who responds to aggression with violence. You know what? I forget. I had just watched a video of this black dude who was on a train and some dude beside him was talking shit to him and pulls out a scissor on him. And let's just say that black dude made him regret. Well, when he comes out of his, because, you know, he was out conscious. When he regains conscious, he's probably going to regret taking out he fucked around and found out. That's what I'm trying to say. I remember watching this video and I'm like, envying that. I wish I could have been like that guy. I wish I could be one of those people who can, when aggression comes up, no fear. It's like, and says like actually mean it and say, hey, homeboy, keep talking shit and there's going to be a problem. And what I mean by that is, you know, burn his house down. Like, I should mention that I'm an emotional guy. You know, I tend to go from 0 to 100. Like, it's a good thing there are gun laws in this country. But I remember a part of me hated myself for not being the kind of person who can make people like that regret their misdeeds. And that's where I'm going with my fascination with violence. Like, I'm on my list of things to work on is exactly that. I'm not saying I wish I was violent. I'm not saying I wish I was pacifist. I'm just saying, I'm bothered at the fact that I went from, you know, I handled this situation right, to later being like, I don't think I handled that situation properly. That's really what my moment is. And the funny is, I'm listening to DMX. X gonna give it to you. He's gonna give it to you, you know? And the image he paints is the kind of motherfucker who was like, yeah, I would have handled that situation. I would have, like, ran in his house, and whoever's in my way would have gotten it too. And like in the movies, exactly like in the movies. It's, I'm not looking for a hug or anything like that. I'm just trying to articulate a moment and how I process. I'm okay now. The fact that I'm able to talk about it. But that moment just had me thinking about that insecurity the Andrew Tates of the world take advantage of. Like no one likes to walk away from a fight or whatnot, but it's just, I have some friends who would have been like, did the salute, and this shit wouldn't have been a memory to them. It would have been like, you know, crazy person I encountered, and it would have kept it moving. Me, I'm just, I went from, you know what, I did the right thing, to them being like, wish I would have fucked them up. I wish I could have fucked them up. I want to be clear. I'm not being realistic as I'm speaking. When I'm saying I wish I could have fucked them up, I wish this and that and that. No, it's just, I'm not being realistic. I know that. But I just can't help the emotion. That's all I'm trying to say. And all this, add this to the list on, this is what I mean when I'm saying I'm working on myself. And if I was still a believer in God, I would say, you know, God is working on all of us. And this is one of the motherfucking things that he's working on. My fascination with the idea of violence. All right. Last but not least, okay, preparing for the show, going back to what I said, I'm just going to read it out because I said preparing for this show, I didn't want to create this episode. I didn't feel like I had a show. I had any content to present in a show, and yet, which is why I initially was going to start with how I didn't want to record this show, how I didn't think I had the material, but I was still going to do it, but... But jokes on me, turns out I did have content for the show. But now I want to see where this goes. That's what I wrote. And I ended up doing it, and I'm proud of myself. Like, I set myself up, not for fail, thinking like I wouldn't have a show, I didn't have anything to talk about. And here we are. Here we are. What is it, an hour, 10 minutes? Okay, let's wrap this up. That's the other thing, too, is I kind of wish I'm working on being more, I think the word is succinct or brief. Getting to the fucking point. But you know what? I actually like what I said today. Sure, it was long, but before I continue, when I was thinking about how I didn't want to record, I said, if this episode were my child, it would be an unplanned mistake that I would force myself to give it my last name to. That was fucking funny. Anyways, yeah, but no, now it's a child that, turns out, no, there was purpose for this episode. So I can talk about my fascination with violence and the aha moment that I got from reading this Vox article by the arrested misogynist influencer of Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate explained, there's something one of the authors, he mentions about, oh, sorry, wrong article. I said, how Andrew Tate sells men on toxic masculinity. And there's a guy, is it Noel King? No, Robert Lawson. He was talking about how, that's the thing, men have like a limited amount of role models. And I think I'm trying to do my part by me expressing that moment that I had with, I wish I would have fought the guy. I'm glad that I didn't fight the guy. I didn't respond to this guy's aggression. This is me just trying to say, this is me trying to be a human being. Try to accept the fact that I'm not the violent type. I think, in my mind I am, but in reality, no, I'm not the violent type. But I'm just, being able to articulate this shit out loud kind of helps the journey. And that's the kind of man that I talk shit through. It's okay to do that. Sure, it's not the version of masculinity that the Tates of the world will tell you about. No. Talk about it. Go to therapy. What are you, fucking nuts? Man, just go to the gym and then beat somebody up. Yeah. You don't have to be that guy. That's what I'm trying to say. You do not have to be that guy. So, in a way, I'm grateful for this episode that I got to, like, unload and share these feelings with y'all. And if you're going through that journey, yeah, man, consider us part of the same tribe. The other thing, too, is, okay, let me accept the fact that I like this episode. Holy shit, I recorded this episode on a full stomach from a buffet, but whatever. Pat on the back for myself. But I said that I did think about how I was worried that, sorry, the cough is coming again. Hold on a second, let me calm down. Okay, let me just try to end this episode. if you're familiar with my podcast, I usually reach a part of the day where I'm coughing like a motherfucker. And I think it's because I was talking too much. And I wrote, okay, what kind of episode do I want to do? More focus. More focus. Less all over the place. Right now, I'm just trying. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm on a journey to creating a better episode of a pod, to creating a better podcast. And right now I'm thinking maybe, I don't know about this whole random thought, but maybe making shit a bit more focused. A lot of what I say is in response to other podcasts that I listen to. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to be like, if I was a computer program, I'm like that computer program that has all the features my competitor has, but I suck at all of them. And like when I do comedy, I know I'm going up there to make people laugh and I'm taking them on a journey. When I'm doing this podcast, I'm not actually sure what I'm trying to do besides share my voice, share my thoughts. And again, it's a journey, man. Like I said, it's a journey, growth. All I know is I know that when I reach the point where I'm like, fuck, an hour, 30 minutes. And what the fuck did I talk? What exactly, if I was listening to this shit, what would be the one thing I retained in this? Yeah. Anyways, this last thought is going to be continued. Where am I going with this podcast? I know what I'm trying to do. I'm just not sure where I'm trying to go with it. And I'm still figuring it out. The one thing I know about this podcast is just a reality. It's like the full reality of me. It'll get me right. I'm laughing because I'm struggling on this whole. Yeah, I don't really like myself too much. I want to say nothing personal, but it's just I grew up with the notion that you weren't supposed to like yourself. You're supposed to hate yourself. That's normal. That's what you're supposed to do. So getting out of that habit is kind of hard. So me shitting on my own podcast is like me shitting on my, here's hoping. I think maybe there'll be one episode where I love the podcast as much as I love myself. That's the journey. I guess that's the journey. But until then, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. To communicate with me, to holler at me, you can find me on Twitter at bblizak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. And every time I was talking about the show notes, you'll find it on the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe to my RSS feed. Subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website, or go on Google and Apple Podcasts, one of the two, whichever is your favorite one. And thank you for listening. Seriously, I really mean that. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.